We sang this evening in our songbook. We opened up with the song, Our God, He is Alive. And in that first line there, there is beyond the azure blue a God concealed from human sight. There would be many people that would laugh at us for believing in a God that we can't even see. And yet we know that He exists because of the evidence of Him and the universe. And David prayed about two things that really touch on our lesson tonight. He prayed about God and how He made the world. And then right toward the end there, he prayed about troubles and trials that we have in our life. And that's what our lesson is about this evening. When we face various difficulties in life, we can either trust in God or we can lean upon our own understanding. We can follow God or we can follow what we think and what we feel. And for tonight's lesson and an example of that, we want to turn to the book of Isaiah and consider a father and his son, Ahaz and Hezekiah. Ahaz the father, Hezekiah the son. And both of them faced a problem in their life. One turned to man for the solution. The son, Hezekiah, turned to God. And so it becomes a profile then of belief and unbelief. Unbelief in Ahaz and belief in the son, Hezekiah. And we want to talk about that this evening because each day that we live, it really boils down to that very basic principle. I get up each day, I either follow God and trust God and His Word, or I just do what man says. It really boils down to that. It's not that difficult. And so this evening we hope to learn from this lesson to get up each day and trust in the Lord and do not lean upon our own understanding. You know, Isaiah is a great prophet and he's a great preacher of faith. He tried to get people to put their faith in God. He preached for about 50 years during the reign of four different kings. And these four kings are not just miscellaneous kings. In chapter 1 and verse 1, we're talking about a family. We're talking about four kings that are all related. Uzziah. Uzziah has a son named Jotham. Jotham has a son named Ahaz. Ahaz has a son named Hezekiah. We're talking about four family members. And when we're talking about Ahaz and Hezekiah, we're talking about a father and a son. And I believe that makes our lesson this evening even more important and critical. Because there may be times in our life where we have to just simply do something different than what our mom and dad did. And that may be the case in our life. But out of these four kings, two of them, Ahaz and Hezekiah, Isaiah spoke directly to them. In Isaiah chapter 7, he goes and he takes his son and speaks directly to Ahaz. In Isaiah chapter 36 through 39, he speaks directly to Ahaz. Imagine going into and speaking to the king. That would be quite impressive. And it's these two men that we want to consider in this evening's lesson. Both of these men, Ahaz and Hezekiah, they faced an international crisis. And by that I mean their nation was being attacked by an outsider. In the case of Ahaz, they were being attacked by Syria and Israel. In the case of Hezekiah, they're being attacked by Assyria. And this is a major problem. This is not just you get up one day and you got a leaky faucet. This is a serious international crisis. And it involves the lives of men and women, and it involved an impending battle. And so they both faced a very strenuous, a very stressful situation. One man turned to another man for help. Hezekiah turned to God for help. Both were given signs, but one believed and the other did not. Both were given a message from Isaiah. Both were given a message to trust in God and do not fear. They were both given the same opportunity, and yet we find one believed and the other did not. So this evening we want to consider that in our lives. When we get up each day, we're either going to be a believer or not. We're either going to put our trust in God and His Word and follow that and trust that that is what is best for our life. Even in making decisions, decisions with our family, decisions on how to live each day. It's very practical. It's very personal. We either follow God or we follow man. And we have to ask ourselves, which one are we doing today? And it's so easy just to follow what we want and to lean upon our own understanding and what we think and what we feel and what others around us are doing. It takes a lot of faith to put our trust in seeing the unseen, as it were. And so that's what we want to talk about this evening. Who do you put your trust in each day? Who do I put my trust in each day? Do you know Isaiah is not just about prophecies of the future? A lot of times Isaiah is very practical. He's trying to get the people of his day and these two kings to put their faith in God. And there's going to be troubled times. There's going to be trials and tribulations. Put your faith in God. Let's look at a few examples. Turn with me to Isaiah. There are times in the book of Isaiah where Isaiah says you need to believe. Chapter 7, verse 9. Chapter 28, verse 16. Turn with me to Isaiah 28, 16. You need to believe in God. Chapter 43, verse 10. Chapter 53, verse 1. But here's Isaiah 28, verse 16, the prophecy of how Christ is going to be the foundation stone. The Lord will lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste. We've got to believe. So 7, 9, 28, 16, 43, 10, 53, 1. Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53, verse 1. You've got to believe in God. But you've got to trust in God. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Just a few examples of this. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. You can look at chapter Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Chapter 30, verse 12. Chapter 31, verse 1. In other places. Trust in God. Isaiah says you need to wait on the Lord. That means to be patient and trust His Word. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 17. There are several examples of this in the book. Isaiah 8, 17. I will wait for Jehovah that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Turn with me to chapter 25 and verse 9. Chapter 25 and verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is Jehovah. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. You also see this in 26 verse 8, chapter 30 verse 18, and other places. You see, Isaiah is not just about preaching sermons about things off in the distant future, coming judgment, or even coming hope. He is talking about in the here and now, when things are going on, we have to believe in God. We have to trust God. We have to wait for Him. Look at chapter 50 and verse 10 with me. One last thing he says is we need to rely upon the Lord. When we get up each day, there's going to be things that we need to face. We sang, yield not to temptation. It might be a temptation. It might be a decision. It might be something that we're planning this year for ourselves or our family. It might be how we act towards somebody else. We have to make a decision. Do I trust God and follow what He says about this matter, or do I just simply do what man says? And Isaiah is telling us to trust in God. Look at chapter 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth Jehovah, that obeyeth the voice of His servant? He that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of Jehovah and rely upon His God. And so it's trust, it's reliance, it's waiting, it's believing. And so when Isaiah comes to these two kings, here is this international crisis. Here is this impending battle. What does Isaiah tell them? But don't fear, trust in the Lord. One listens to that advice and the other one does not. And this evening, we will either listen to that advice or we will not. And we're going to try to learn to be like Hezekiah, the son, and not like Ahaz, the father. Turn with me now to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. We're going to go outside the book of Isaiah to get this story mostly this evening. And we're going to look at the parallel account. And that is in 2 Kings and it's also in 2 Chronicles. We're going to focus on the Chronicles passage this evening, although we will look at Kings just briefly here and there. When you turn to the life of Ahaz, now get in mind, this is the father. Ahaz is the father. Hezekiah is the son. They're going to take two different paths. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, we find that this man, first of all, is an ungodly man. We find that he began to reign chapter 28, verse 1, 2 Chronicles 28, 1. He did that which was, he did not that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah, like David his father. But he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also molten images for the Balaam. And verse 3 and 4 talks about how that he encouraged idolatry, child sacrifice. He got others to that, do that. He's a very wicked man. And from the get-go, from the very beginning, we find that this man is not walking in the right way. We find then that because of that, turn to the same chapter, verses 5 through 7, the Lord sends and brings two nations who confederate together, Syria and Israel, against Ahaz to punish him. Wherefore, look at that, wherefore of verse 5. Wherefore? There's a connection. There's a connection between living wrong and then the judgment that God is going to bring. Wherefore, Jehovah his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria, and they smote him. Because he's not living right. God punishes him. And so he brought these two peoples together to punish him. And so he has this trouble. He has this problem. Why? Verse 6. All of them, because they had forsaken Jehovah, the God of their fathers. God sees when we leave him and do not obey, and he's going to take that into account. So, the Lord brings Syria and Israel against Ahaz to punish him. Now, in verses 8 through 15, we're going to skip these verses, but it's basically children of Ahaz, those that are around Judah, those that are around Jerusalem, they're taken away captive. So verses 8 through 15, they're taken away captive. Now, let's pick up the reading in verse 16. He doesn't do what is right from the very beginning. The Lord brings Syria and Israel to punish him. He's got this Confederate army coming against him of Syria and Israel. What does he do? Isaiah tells him, do not fear, believe in the Lord. But no, he sent for the king of Assyria when he was attacked. He did not have faith in God. Ahaz is a portrait of unbelief. I want to do what I think and I feel and what I think is best. And when we leave God, the path just gets worse and worse. And when there's problems in our life, we just turn to what we want to do and what we think and what we feel. Verse 16, at that time, the time when there's this international crisis and this impending doom, at that time did King Ahaz send unto the kings of Assyria to help him. In particular, this would be Tiglath-Pileser. For again, the Edomites had come and smitten Judah. You see, it wasn't just Syria and Israel. But God allowed others. The Edomites had smitten Judah and carried away captives. The Philistines also had invaded the cities of the lowlands. You've got Syria and Israel coming down, hitting me from the north. You've got Philistia hitting me from the south. You've got Edom hitting me from over in this direction. Why? Because I have left God. I'm not doing what God says. Okay. Verse 18, these different people come and take these different towns. So what does Ahaz do? He turns to a man-made help. Verse 19, for Jehovah brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. Because, did you see that earlier in verse 6? Because they had forsaken Jehovah. Now we're in verse 19, because Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had dealt wantonly in Judah. That's the idolatry and all these other things. And trespassed sore against Jehovah. And Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of Jehovah and out of the house of the king of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, but it helped him not. And in the time of his distress, he did trespass yet more against Jehovah, this same king. And so he's not believing in God. He's not repenting. He's not humbling himself. He's not saying, I'm sorry, I'm sinful, I need to make some change. He just gets worse and worse. And we don't even have time this evening to talk about the fact, verse 23, when he went up to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser and get his help, he saw an altar up there and he came back and made one for himself, an ungodly pattern of an altar. We don't even have time to even talk about these other religious problems that he caused in Jerusalem. We're focusing on his unbelief. But there are some serious problems here with this man. And he could have just simply turned to God. Ahaz, the unbeliever. Now come with me to Isaiah chapter 7. You might just hold your hand there in Chronicles. We'll be coming back here in just a minute. But let's just remind ourselves that when this is going on, what did Isaiah try to get Ahaz to do? Be a believer, trust and obey. We sing that in our songbooks. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 tells about this army of Syria and Israel coming against Ahaz. And in verse 2 it says, the heart of the people trembled, and the heart of the people were as trees of the forest. They trembled. Yes, they're scared. They're being attacked from all sides. That's the opportune time when you turn to God. Not turn to man. But in verse 3, now said Jehovah unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fooler's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither let thy heart be faint because of these two tales of smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin in Syria and the son of Remaliah. Don't fear. Even God is wanting to help. God's wanting to help. God didn't have to send Isaiah to Ahaz. He didn't have to do that. He could have said, look, this guy is clearly not following me. Just let him go. But he says, look, I'm going to send my prophet to try to bring this man back. Put your trust in me. Don't fear. So God is trying. Verse 5, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have purposed evil against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. Let us make a breach therein for us and set up a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken in pieces, so that shall not be a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, underscore that in your Bible, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. And he didn't. He did not. See, God anticipates this matter of you've got to believe in me. And we know the rest of the story that he didn't. He didn't believe. And he put his trust in Tiglath-Pileser. And not only that, but Chronicles says that when this terrible thing was going on, he just sinned more. And what an example as a father. And so the Lord sends Isaiah. He didn't have to do that. He tries to comfort him. He tries to console him. He tries to give him a sign and a promise. Verse 10, and Jehovah spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee for a sign of Jehovah thy God. In other words, I'll give you a miracle to prove to you what I just said in verse 7, what I just said about these two kings going away. I'm going to give you a miracle to prove that, to help build his faith and his trust. Ask thee a sign of Jehovah thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. That's why I believe the sign is a miraculous sign. He's not just saying, just ask for a common, ordinary occurrence. That's why in verse 14, the sign of the virgin, that's a miracle. Some people believe that verse 14, well, that's just a child that was born sometime in the days of Ahaz. Well, that's no sign to anybody. That happens all day long. Babies are born all day long. I'm about to give you something that is miraculous, and it can be in heaven above or in the depth below. Whatever you want, it's miraculous. Verse 12, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt Jehovah. And on the surface, that appears to be noble. But when in fact, when you understand his full character, he doesn't believe God. And so in the next verse, Isaiah changes the wording, and he doesn't speak to Ahaz anymore. He speaks to the rest of the children of Israel. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you, plural, you, all of the people of Judah, a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel. Of course, the prophecy of Jesus. Ahaz is an unbeliever. But verse 9 is extremely important. If you will not believe, you shall not be established. You see, Isaiah is about preaching faith. and preaching belief. And we have to get up each day and do that. And if we don't, we will not be established. And so the text says, back in 2 Chronicles now, he sinned more and more. Not only did he not believe in the Lord, he was given that encouragement. He was even given, he could have an opportunity to have a miraculous sign to prove that. I don't want that. And he sinned more and more. And that's where that comes in about he took the good things out of the temple that were supposed to be there, and he brought in ungodly things. And he found an altar up in Damascus and had someone make a copy of it and come down and make him one in Jerusalem. Talk about turning things upside down. And so that's Ahaz the father. And really what this spells is unbelief. It spells failure. And he failed as a son. Look at chapter 27. If we choose, and here's the point. If we get up each day and choose unbelief, then unbelief spells failure. In my marriage, in my family, in the choices that I make, if I don't believe God, there is going to be a problem somewhere, sometime. We can't just go through life being an unbeliever and not be affected. There's going to be some problems. Let's look at just four of them. Number one, he failed as a son. You know, his father was actually a godly person in chapter 27 and verse 6 with regard to Jotham. So Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before Jehovah his God. Well, Ahaz didn't do that. He failed as a son. Number two, he failed as a king. Do you know that the text says there in chapter 28 and verse 19 that God brought Judah low because of Ahaz? Thank you. Thank you, Ahaz, for causing all of this problem. He failed as a king. He wasn't a leader. He didn't help his people. His people are now being attacked because of him. He failed as a person. He failed as a son. He failed as a king. He failed as a worshiper. He couldn't even get his worship right. In chapter 28, in verse 23, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him, and said, because of the gods of the kings of Syria, help them, therefore I will sacrifice unto him, that they may help me. And he goes up there and gets a pattern of an altar, and he comes down and builds himself one. He's failing all the way around. And look at chapter 28, verse 27. They didn't even bury him with the rest of the kings because of his disgraceful life. That's something to think about. Ahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city, even in Jerusalem, for they brought him not into the sepulchres of the kings of Israel. He doesn't deserve a place there. He got a burial in town, but it wasn't with the other noble kings. And so he's a failure. And if we're going to get up each day and not believe and trust and hope and rely upon God, there is going to be failures somewhere, sometime. And we just need to understand that. We've got to be believers. Now, let's look at the son. The son, Hezekiah, has the same problem. He's got an army facing him. It's the same town, Jerusalem, just a few years later. He's got an army knocking on his door. What does he do? He does the opposite. He trusts in God. He believes in God. So turn now with me to 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah began to reign. 2 Chronicles 29, 1. Hezekiah. That's not just some other person. That's the son. That's the son of this man. And he does the opposite. He does the right thing from the very beginning. Verse 2. He did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah. He served God, not the Assyrian king. So when this king is approaching, it's now Sennacherib, he's going to trust in God. Just hold your hand here in Chronicles, because we will be coming back. And turn over to 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings 18 is the parallel account. Look at this. When the Assyrian army comes up against Hezekiah, does he run off and make some pact with some man? Please help me, save me. No, he turns to God. And look at what is written here in 2 Kings 18 and verse 5. He trusted in Jehovah, the God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor among them were before him. For he clave to Jehovah, he departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which Jehovah commanded Moses. And Jehovah was with him, whithersoever he went forth, he prospered. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Why? I serve God. I don't serve you. You know, that's a great verse. And served him not. Man's not my master. God is. And when he was being attacked, here is the Assyrian army. Rabshakeh comes up. He's yelling all of his defiant things. Isaiah is called for. He sends for Isaiah. We're back now in Isaiah chapter 37, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah, pray for us. Isaiah comes and he says the same thing that he said to Ahaz. Trust in the Lord. Don't fear. There's going to come a time when this king out here, he's going to go home. Trust in me. And that's what Hezekiah does. And Hezekiah himself, Isaiah 37, verse 14 through 20, begins to pray to God. He lays it out there before God. It's a beautiful prayer. He magnifies the greatness of God. He trusts in God. And right there at the end of his prayer, in chapter 37 and verse 20, O Jehovah our God, save us. That's who I'm going to trust in. That's who I'm going to believe in. Well, if unbelief spells failure, what does belief spell? Success. And that's all the way through the life of Hezekiah. We won't take time this evening to look at all of the reforms that he made. I was looking at this material, 2 Chronicles 29 through 31. I was looking at this material in preparation for this lesson, and there's some things here about reformation and restoration that maybe I'd like to talk about in a future lesson. But when you believe in God, there's going to be successes. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 29, right after that verse that we read in verse 2, where he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, in the very next verse, in the first month of his reign, and there all the way through the next few chapters, it's just one reformation after another. He repairs the temple. He was successful in repairing the temple. He was successful in getting the Levites to come back and start serving the Lord. He was successful in repairing the worship service. The sacrifices were restored, and primarily the Passover was. And he was successful in getting the people back on track with God. Get rid of the idolatry. Get rid of the unwholesomeness in Judah. And let's get back to serving God. And come with me to the end of this story. Come all the way over to chapter 31 and verse 20. Chapter 31 and verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah. Why? Because it was just happenstance? No, he was a believer. It starts off, the whole thing starts off at the beginning of his life. He trusted in God. Belief spells success in marriage, in family, in choices that are made. It's not an accident. So he did throughout all Judah, and he wrought that which was good and right and faithful before Jehovah his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. Look at the very next verse. After these things and this faithfulness, I love that, Sennacherib came and entered into Judah. But Hezekiah is ready for him. Not militarily, not politically. He's ready for him spiritually, because he already had a track record of faithfulness to God. Okay, here comes a king. Fine, I'll pray to my God like I've always done. Hezekiah, in Isaiah 37, Hezekiah didn't come to God at the end of his life, sort of like a parachute. He's about to die, and all of a sudden, I need God. He's always had God in his life. He had always been praying. He had always been following the law of God. You know, there are people today that are, oh, I'm in big trouble. I need God. Come bail me out. Well, they hadn't been following God before. That wasn't Hezekiah. He'd been following him from day one. And God comes and helps him. But look at this. All of this faithfulness. I'd like that to be said of me. Wouldn't you like that to be said of you at the end of your life? That after you had completed all of this faithfulness. That's a great way to put that. He was successful because he was a believer in God. He trusted in God. And so we come now to Isaiah. When Sennacherib comes up against him, he's successful in warding off that attack, and God comes and helps him. Later, when he gets sick, he does the same thing. Turn to Isaiah. When he gets sick, he turns and he prays to God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 38. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said, "Thus saith Jehovah, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Look at the very next verse. What did Hezekiah do? He did what he had always done, because he's a believer. He turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Jehovah. He had always been like that. And so now he's even successful in overcoming his sickness because the Lord hears his prayer and causes him to be restored. Unbelief spells failure. Belief spells success. And now we get down to the bottom line, and as we come toward the end of our lesson, look at these two contrasting men, a father and a son. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 7. What did Ahaz say? He's got this international crisis on his hands. These armies are invading his land. He needs some help. He won't turn to God. Isaiah comes and says, trust in God, don't fear God, believe, and all of that. What does Ahaz do? Well, in 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 7. This is the king's passage. We were in Chronicles earlier. This is the king's passage that is parallel. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath, king of Assyria, saying, I am thy servant. What did Hezekiah say? I am not your servant. Remember that? The difference between a father and a son. I am your servant and thy son. Look at this. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Assyria. That's what the father said. What did Hezekiah say when he prayed to God? What did he pray in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 20? O Jehovah our God, save us. Ahaz turned to a man and said, save me. Hezekiah turned to God and said, save me. That's the difference. That's a portrait of belief and unbelief. Now turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. There's a statement here that I just love from Hezekiah. When Sennacherib comes up against the city of Jerusalem, the people are troubled. Look at what Hezekiah says in 2 Chronicles 32 verse 7. 2 Chronicles 32 verse 7, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there is a greater with us than with him. With him, Sennacherib, is an arm of flesh, but with us is Jehovah our God to help us and to fight our battles. That's the difference between the father and the son. Between Ahaz and Hezekiah. Between unbelief and belief. And we have to get up each day and decide which one we are. Now, as we close this evening, I want us to consider three important lessons about this father and this son. Number one, you can choose repudiation instead of replication. There's some big words there. What do we mean by that? You can get up each day and you can choose to repudiate, which means to say no to, the way you were raised, how you've been taught, the unbelief of your parents or your family or anything that might be wrong in the past. You can choose to say no to that and do what's right, or you can choose just simply to replicate it and just keep it on in your life. Well, I'll just be like my dad was. I'll just be like my mom was. I'll just be like the way I was raised. You can choose to repudiate it if it's wrong. Of course, if it's right and scriptural and according to God's word, we're not talking about that. But if something is wrong, you can either repudiate it and say no to it, or you can replicate it and just say, well, I'm just going to keep it up in my life. Status quo, just do. Hezekiah chose to repudiate it. I'm not going to be like my unbelieving father. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 18. If there is something that we need to say no to in our past, we can either repudiate it or we can just replicate it. Well, you know, Dad, my dad, you know, he was an unbeliever. And, you know, I just grew up with that all my life. And he didn't trust in God. He didn't pray to God. He trusted in men. And that's the only example I ever had growing up. And so that's what I'm going to do. No, he said, no, I'm going to repudiate that. I'm not just simply going to replicate it and just keep it on in my life. And we can do that, brethren and friends. And there may be things that we need to say no to concerning our past. And we know that that is the case. Look at Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 14. Ezekiel 18, 14, verses 10 through 13 is about a man who's very bad. He does bad things, and you can read that on your own time, verses 10 through 13. But he has a son. This bad man has a son, verse 14, that seeth all his father's sins which he hath done, and feareth and doth not such like. Some versions say, and considereth. I like that. It's the idea of seeing it with the view of contemplating and considering. My version says, he feareth and doeth not such like. Some versions say he seeth or he considereth it. And that's what we need to do. We need to sit down and do some soul searching and some consideration that maybe my parents just didn't raise me right in some areas of my life. And I'm not going to follow that. Hezekiah had to do that. He did it. And he was better for it. And maybe we need to do the same. Number two, we find from this father-son relationship that you can choose belief instead of unbelief. You don't have to go along with the unbelief that you were raised in. You can change that. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. Do you remember Hezekiah's statement? With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the arm of the Lord. And greater is he that is with us than is with him. And that reminds me of exactly what John said in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he, God, that is in you than he, the devil, that is in the world. That's exactly what Hezekiah said. We have the greater help. God is on our side. And we need to remember that. That's why in chapter 5 and verse 4, that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Believing in God, trusting in God, following God's word, that is what is going to get us to overcome each day. And while we may not have physical battles, we don't have a king coming up to us like Sennacherib. But we have spiritual battles and spiritual choices that we have to make each day. And what is it that's going to overcome? That means victory. What is going to overcome? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And this is the victory that hath overcome the world, even our faith. Chapter 5, verse 4. And that's exactly what Hezekiah said. And that's how he approached this situation. And then last of all, you can choose prayer instead of human wisdom. And that's why I asked Carlin if he would read for our scripture reading, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord and lean not upon your own understanding. And that happens all the time. We just want to do what we think and what we feel and what we've learned and what we see on TV and what we hear and what our country is saying and this person and that person. No. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart and lean not upon thine own understanding. Ahaz was all about, what do I want to know? I want to run off and get some help with a man. Hezekiah was, no, I'm just going to trust in God. Isaiah's here. He's given me help. He's praying. I'm praying. And God's on our side. And so we cannot lean upon our own understanding in all thy ways, not some of them, not 99%, all our ways, acknowledge Him. That doesn't mean, oh, I acknowledge that there's a God out there. No, it means that He's God and He's my master, and I acknowledge that He is ruling over me. Acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. It will be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Belief spells success. Unbelief spells failure. And so, some great lessons that we can learn from a father and a son. You can choose to repudiate anything that's wrong in your former life. You don't have to just replicate that and just keep it going. You can choose belief instead of unbelief. You can choose prayer and trust in God instead of human wisdom. What a great picture and lesson. And I hope that that has helped us this evening. Two portraits. A portrait of unbelief in Ahaz. A portrait of belief in Hezekiah. Which will it be for you and which will it be for me? When we hear God's word and what it is for our lives, in becoming a Christian for the first time, in remaining faithful, we can either trust and obey or just say, well, that doesn't match up with my human wisdom. That doesn't match up with what I think and what I feel. We can either trust and obey or we can just go by what we think and what we feel. We do the former, we're successful. We do the latter, there's going to be problems and failures in our life. And so our encouragement this evening is to be that portrait of belief, to wait on the Lord, to trust in the Lord, to believe the Lord, to obey Him. And all of those things that Isaiah is trying to encourage, all of those things, that's what is important. And what a great portrait in a father and in a son. We might have family members and friends and those around us who aren't living right. They've chosen the path of unbelief. We pray for them. We try to talk with them and encourage them. They've chosen that path. But you choose the path of belief. You choose the path that is going to lead to spiritual success and where you have God on your side. And if we can encourage you to do that this evening by beginning a life in Christ, why won't you come as we stand and sing and let your needs be made known?